Okay, we're back now with Marblehead reporter Chris Stevens of the Marblehead Reporter. And Chris, welcome back to MSO.
Thank you. Good morning. It's nice to be here.
It has been a while. And, you know, so much of the news has been dominated by the virus and stuff, but it's great to find articles elsewhere. And a couple of things I want to talk about with you going on at Marblehead. But the first, a pretty serious loss of an icon at Marblehead over the weekend. Can you tell us a little bit about the death of Judy Jacoby?
I'm not really sure what happened. I just know that she died suddenly over the weekend. They're not releasing a lot of the details. I don't think they know a lot of the details. But it was just, she's 20-year Horace Blackman. She is much beloved. She has served on, I don't know, a million different committees in the town. And the thing about Judy is Judy doesn't just sit on a committee. She actually serves on it. I mean, she... As one friend puts it, she gets in there, she rolls up her sleeves, and she goes to work. She does the work on these committees. So she's going to be, it's just, she leaves a huge hole in town. There's a lot to be felt. She was a tireless advocate for seniors. Even though she was once, I don't think she realized that. She was, when COVID-19 came in and shut everything down, she was immediately down at the senior center. She chaired the Friends of the Council on Aging, and she was immediately down there asking what she could do and how could she help, and they did. They put her to work, and she was making phone calls and just getting things done. Anything that they needed, she made sure they got it. So they're actually having an online memorial service for her today at 11:15. So you can find that if you go to the town's website and look up the Board of Selectmen meeting. There'd be a link to that if anybody wants to attend it, open to the public, to just sort of come and celebrate Judy as the is just the goal of that meeting.
Well, thanks for that information. In the article, it mentioned that she was a Jersey girl, so Marblehead was sort of her adopted hometown.
Yeah, she loved to tell that story. Judy and her husband, Gene, who passed away in 2015, I believe, they came and looked and bought a house just like literally days before the blizzard of 78. They moved here in the blizzard of 78, and she used to love to tell that story. She was right on the harbor. They have a house right down on Front Street. You can imagine what that view was for them. But she and her husband both met their childhood sweethearts. They grew up in Jersey, and she was very proud of being a Jersey girl, but she loved Marblehead. I mean, she just oozed Marblehead. When she came here, she was, I don't know, here like days, and they moved here at the beginning. They were summer residents because her husband Gene still had a job in New Jersey. But in 91, they moved, I think it was 91, they moved up here permanently. And within weeks, she was on the Marblehead 350th anniversary celebration committee. And that was sort of the beginning of her volunteerism. And her husband was exactly the same. He threw himself into volunteering for everything. It was just the kind of people that they were.
Yeah, well, obviously a difficult loss. And I think every city and town can relate to a person like that or a couple like that. A great story, though. And changing gears a little bit here, Chris, Marblehead schools like every other school in the area, sort of up in the air right now, but what's the impact now of having a new superintendent?
It's interesting. I think it's going to be really good. It will be really good. It is really good. Dr. John Buckey comes to Marblehead from Nantucket, which is an interesting move for him. He started July 1st. He's your new superintendent. This is his first gig as a superintendent, too. So coming into a pandemic, I would think for a seasoned superintendent would be, you know, is difficult enough. Coming in for a new superintendent, I feel like that's a whole new level of experience. But he actually made a good point. He said, in a way, he feels lucky to have started in the middle of a pandemic because it kind of throws the rule book out the window, gives him a little bit more flexibility in dealing with things and certainly learning about things. But he is taking the reins. He has already released a preliminary draft for what back to school might look like. And, you know, he is powering forward. They're getting a lot of work done in a short amount of time, but he really jumped in and hit the ground running. So I think it's going to be great. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of good ideas. I think Marblehead is really lucky to find him.
Well, that's good. I know there are other superintendents brand new to the area as well, so we're going to be keeping our eye on that all over the place, I guess, Peabody and Gloucester among them.
I was just going to say Peabody and Gloucester also have new superintendents, yeah. And he's been in touch. He said he's been in touch sort of with the other new superintendents in the area, because there's a North Shore roundtable for superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
So he is not the only he's not the only new guy at the table. So and I think that helps him. I think they, you know, it gives a little, they've got a little support from his belly.
You know, we didn't mention this in our pregame warm-up here, but anecdotally, Chris, around town, what is the feeling among, I don't know, people you talk with about school? Because I know everywhere I go on Cape Ann, people just kind of shrug their shoulders and say, you know what, none of the plan seems to be viable because it's such an impossible situation.
It is an impossible situation. I think what they're going to end up going with is the one that parents fear the most, which is the hybrid. I think they're going to have kids in school either... they did a survey, and it was interesting because it was like 40% of parents would like to see kids go every other week, 41% would like to see them go to in-person school like every other day or like three times a week and then be home two times a week. And then I think there were another 40%, of which I thought it was interesting because they clearly added up to more than
100%.
Like, all right, my math isn't great, but that adds up to way more than 100%. They wanted to see, I think they wanted to see a total hybrid. A total remote learning.
Yeah.
They don't want to send their kids to school at all. It seems almost like, but there are some parents that are just like, oh my God, open the schools, get my kids out of my house.
Yep.
Other parents are like, no way, it's not safe, I'm not sending my kids back. And like you said, nobody's going to win in this.
And I think a lot of parents, maybe that's where the 40-40-40 comes from, think in double terms here, because yeah, get the kids out of the house on the one hand, but wait a minute, now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should try it and see what happens. This is just weird, and so you know, being a former teacher, I'm really glad I'm not doing that anymore.
I think it'll be interesting once they decide what this hybrid is or what this is going to look like. I'm curious to see how many teachers decide, you know what, time for me to retire. Maybe I'm not going to come back.
Yeah, I know. Again, anecdotally, the teachers and administrators I've talked with over the last couple of months, they just said it was just so hard in the springtime. Some of them calling it a disaster. But we'll see what happens. You know, that's the other thing. And again, off topic here a little bit. I know that on Cape Ann, people not crazy about wearing face coverings, but they're doing it. And I'm knocking on wood as I say this. There have been no incidents that I know of anger or ire, you know, concerning face coverings. And I'm guessing that people, you know, Marblehead, Swampscott area, same thing. Everybody doesn't like it, but we're adapting.
They're doing it. You know, it's funny. I just asked the police chief that question the other day. And he said, yeah. I mean, as far as he's concerned, he said a lot of those calls go directly to Board of Health, which I actually have a call into Andrew Petty to talk to him about it. But the chief said, from his perspective, exactly what you said. People may not like it, but they are complying. And, you know, he said, for the most part, wherever he goes, he sees people wearing the mask. People are, you know, or not. But they're doing the social distancing thing. You know, you always see, there's always going to be issues at the beach and in some places. But by and large, and Marblehead's numbers are pretty, you know, they're pretty good. They're still creeping up with one or two people testing positive per week, but their active cases have remained right around five for, I don't know, the last more than a month. And they topped out with 30 deaths in May and have had none since. So I feel like Marblehead's numbers, it must be working.
That's great.
Numbers are holding steady.
Yeah, that is good news. And speaking of good news, you have a story about the Cub Scouts doing something kind of cool?
I love this story. They're just so cute. So, yeah, the Cub Scouts came before the Board of Selectmen. Actually, one of their troop leaders came before the Board of Selectmen. And Marblehead has a great rail trail, or a track. I guess you get yelled at depending on what you call it, because all the locals call it something different. They all want it called what they call it. But basically, it's the rail. It's part of the rail trail. And there is the Village Street Bridge, which, like a lot of places, has been spray painted, has lots of graffiti and whatnot on it. And so the Cub Scouts thought that they would do a large mural on the wall under the bridge. And the idea is they're going to do like a huge pair of wings that span almost the entire bridge. And they leave a place for people to stand in the middle of it, so they can stand and sort of have their picture taken. They become part of the mural, and they'll, you know, it looks like they have these ginormous wings. And they're going to have a little motto, "Do your best," which is the Cub Scout motto. And I think it's going to say, underneath, I think it's going to say, "Believe in your wings." So they know it's going to be temporary, because the town has recently received a mass trail grant of $41,000 to redesign this trail. I say redesign it. They're going to work on drainage issues. They're going to work on making like the intersections with West Shore Drive and the various other streets that it crosses, just making those more visible. But they also realize that in doing this renovation, they'll probably lose the mural, and the Cub Scouts are fine with that. They just thought, you know, for a couple of years before they actually get to the renovation stage, that it would be fun to have this mural, and the selectmen were all for it. They're like, that's a great idea. So it'll be fun. It'll be really cute.
And it'll be there forever on social media, so
you'll have that
aspect of it. All right. Chris, how can people get a hold of your stories and avail themselves of the Marblehead Reporter?
You can go right online to the Marblehead Reporter. I should know my own address, and it's just Wicked Local, Marblehead at wickedlocal.com, marblehead.wickedlocal.com. And you can see all of our stories there. And, anything else you want to know, you can get a hold of me at cstevens@wickedlocal.com or marblehead@wickedlocal.com if you want to email us with any ideas, any thoughts, any questions, any stories.
And news tips, absolutely. And we'll link to that. That is Marblehead reporter Chris Stevens of the Marblehead Reporter.